I didn't get one haircut, I got them all cut. Okay, I would like to read you today something. I'm not sure how to begin. How do I begin? Let me just think a minute. Whose idea was this? Where is he? He's gone?
Mayor Solomon.
He's gone? Okay, fine. I'm not sure how to begin. Okay, somebody sent me this. Can I read you from Rav Chaim Vital from the Arizal Nishar Gilgulim first?
Sure.
This is what I had in my pocket, and he told me I should say it to the Arizal. And this is what I had in my other pocket. Okay. So let me read you first from Rav Chaim Vital. But I'm telling you now, you know, there are guys that leave in the middle, but you know me, I don't care. Right? It's G'day to stay for the second thing. This will take 1 minute, this will take four. Listen to Chaim Vital. Chaim Vital says, Pam echos sha'alti l'mai Rizal. Who was Reb Chaim Vital? You think he was like the Talmud of Arizal Mestama? He was like a young bacher or something, and Arizal was like the Gadol Hador. Arizal was Nifter, I think he was 40 years old. Arizal's Talmud, Chaim Vital, he was 40 years older than him. He was about 75, 80 at the time when he came to learn by him. And you think he was his prized Talmud. He learned by him for 10 years, for 20 years. He learned by him for, it's a machlekes, if he learned by him for 9 months, right, or like a year and 3 months. But he taught him Kol Teres HaNister, right, everything from Shaar Gilgulim to everything. This is in Shaar Gilgulim. So he writes like this, Pam Echa Sha'alti the Marizal. I once asked my Rebbe, I asked the Arizal, how do you say to me, in the previous paragraphs, he started explaining to him what his neshama was like with the Or HaMakif and all types of interesting things over here that I can't explain to you people. No, it's not nice to say you people. I can't explain it to you type of people. Okay? How do you say to me, Shenafshi haise kol kach m'ula, you tell me that my nefesh is mamish, like unbelievable. He doesn't understand. And you told me that my nefesh is as big as tanoyim. What are you talking about? He says, "Hare, hakotin shebedoyrus of yishayinim ayat tzadik v'chosid she'ein ani magia lakevoy." The smallest of the guys of the Tanoim, the smallest of the Merayim, were able to be mechayim mesim. So what shaychus do I have to? I didn't understand. Vamar li da dalcha. I would, if it was up to me, everybody would photocopy this. Everybody photocopy all three of these papers and take them around and take them with you. Maybe I'll leave it with you afterwards. You'll copy them. This is. You should have this. I would, you know, the Igeris are Ramban. The Ramban, he said that you should read his Igeris once a week or something, no? What does it say? Once a week, right? You know? I think you should read this. You're going to Ben Zman? I'm going to be Chaluk on the Helik Ramban. He said once a week. I think you should read this every day. This one every day, this one once a week. Okay? I'll leave it with you. So he says like this. But this one every day. He says like this. If a person would ask me, I'm not a Poisek right now. You know, Socrates, when he did Averis, Aristotle, when he did his Averis. So they asked him, you're such a, the Rambam writes that it was like a Madrega under Nevuah what he accomplished. So they asked him, this is you, he was drunk in the street, rolling around like a buffoon. So they asked him, you're such an intellectual person. So he said, right now, I am not Aristotle. Right now, I'm not Aristotle. Aristotle is in the base Medrash. So right now, I'm not Shragi Kalas Poisek. But if I would be Shragi Kalas Poisek, I don't know if I would say what I'm about to say now. But if somebody would ask me the question, is it more important to read this every day of Ben Azmanim or to daven? I would tell him, read this. I'm not Poisek right now. I left the Poisek in the base Medrash. Right now, I'm not in the base Medrash. Okay? I would tell him, Mitzat Psak, you know, I would tell him that he probably, if he asked me a Shailen Poisek, I'd tell him, stop me after daven. I don't know what idiot told you like the other way, right? But this idiot is telling you, yeah? You should read this every day, even if it means don't daven. Probably after you read this, you'll daven. But if you ask me a choice, right, then I would tell you to read this. So it says like this. He says, Amali da. He said to me, Dalacha, ki ein gadlus gedulas had nefesh. The greatness of your nefesh is not tali kefi maisa adam. It's not tali in what you do. Rak kefi hazman vador ahu. It all depends in the door that you live in, and the time that you're living in, the people that you surround yourself with. Ki maise katin me'oid bedor hazeh, small maisim in this door, a shakol bekama mitzvahs gedoilis shebedoiris acherim. What the Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Chanina would have a tightness on Yom Kippur that the whole world would shake, that took them an entire Yom Kippur to shake an entire world. But you, if you daven shachris properly, right? That's a big deal. Yeah. The doiris acherin can be doiris elu. Which door? The door of the Arizal. The door of the Arizal. Ha klipa geveris ma'oid ma'oid. The klipa is geferlich. Yeah, the door of the Arizal. Ho-ho. The Alkebetz was the Chazan, the Beis Yosef was the Rav, the Arizal was the Mekubal. Wow, what a Shrek l'chamatziv day, right? Mamash, you know, Fregnish with the smartphones, what was going on there, right? So he says, Ein Kate, Mashenkin in the Darius of Yishayim. The Ilu Ayisi, if me, Rechai Vital, would have been in the Darius of Yishayim, if I would have been in Darius Shainim, Hayu Masai, my Maisim, and my Chacham, it's a Raya. If you're able to succeed in Torah and Yerushimayim and Tefillah and Chesed in this door, the door of the Arizal, woo-hoo, right? If you're able to succeed in this door, then it means in a previous door, you would have been a Navi. You know, there was, as Gemara said, I think there was 1.2 million Navim that left the Yitzhak Mitzrayim. How many from people are there? And how many people do we have? We don't have much more than 1.2 million. If you're one of them, it's borrowed. You would have been a Navi when you left Mitzrayim. Do you understand what that means? You have to start looking at what the Arizal, at how it's supposed to be. You think, me? Yeah, because in this door, the expression of a Navi is somebody who's able to be a Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. That gives chizik to your actions. And he says, it goes on, don't fret. Don't fret. You know what the word fret means? Yeah? Don't fret. Why? Keep the least suffix. Yesh l'nafshi, kama ma'ilu gedoilis, al kama tzadikim. You're bigger than a lot of the tzaddikim from the previous doyers. Okay, you're bigger than a lot of the tzaddikim from the previous doyers. Unbelievable. Huh? You know, I want to tell you something. I'm an old man. It's hard for me to get chizik from things. I'm telling you, I'm an old man. That's how it goes. Once you get older, you better get it when you're young. But when I'm an old man, when I read this, I said, there's still hope. You know, I don't have kavanah in most of the Shmon Esrei. Who has kavanah in most of the Shmon Esrei, you know? And who could say that all of my maisim are pure and that I try, I do what I can, more than that I can't. So Keshwak is saying, yeah, but look at you. You know, you're one of the Rabbanim in the door. So if you're one of the Rabbanim in the door, you know what that means? You would have been mamish one of the Tanoyim, no? If you take me and put me in plan, and you guys, what are you? Right? You're the Talmidim of the door. So what are you? What are you? The Talmidim. You're those Gemaras that said, Toshma, effect that one of the Talmidim. You would have been one of the people that asked the Gashit to Rav Chanina. In a door gone by, you would have been that. But that in each door, you have to understand who you are and what you are. Okay, that's what I came to tell you today. As I came to that. But you know, it's not enough to just like hear such things and say, okay, great, so what I'm doing is enough. And that's it. Now that you understand your position as a Navi, right? So you have to know what to do with that. You have to know what to do with that, right? So now I want to read you something. Quite unconventional. And then afterward, I'm going to read you, the last thing I want to read you is from the Mesil Sesharim. Because I don't want to end with this. But I'll end instead with the Mesil Sesharim. Even though Mesil Sesharim is maybe a dirty word. You think, oh my goodness, it's going to be Musar? There's not one word of Musar today. There wasn't one drop of Musar. I was going to come and tell you that this was a drasha said by a Gevaldik and Mashkiach. But I decided I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna lie. This was a article written by a famous blogger. Do you know what a blog is? You know what it is? Yeah. His name is Bradley Chambers. Do you know Bradley? You guys don't know Bradley. Oh, Hashem, he's learning the oil of Torah. I want to read you what he writes here. This is, you know, the Gemara says Chachma Bagoyim Tamin. What were they talking about? They're talking about somebody that this is what they're talking about. This is incredible chachma. What you're about to hear is incredible chachma. Because each invention has its time, right? It's a pellet to me. Glasses, for 300 years, I'm giving shir in the Kailul, we're talking about the Haitzah and Shabbos and glasses and whatever. And for 300 years, they couldn't figure out to take the legs, the temples, and put them around the ear. For 300 years, when they made the first guy that invented glasses, he took a thing and put it on the nose, and every day it fell and broke. Right? And then the Gemara. Then in the time they figured out to put like a string and tie it around the neck, right? And then all time, no one hopped, right? For 300 years, this is how the glasses, and Shabru talks about glasses. He says, of course you can't wear glasses in Shabbos. They're going to fall off and you're going to have to carry them in Rosh Hashanah. Like nobody thought, maybe you just put a leg, right? See, each invention has its time. So therefore, I'm not going to attribute the chachma that somebody came out with all these technologically advanced things and medical things. Each thing has its time. You see that? If they couldn't figure out how to make glasses. But where do you see chachma bagayim? It's the incredible insight. This is what it means when the Rambam says that, you know, they, with intellectual honesty, they were able, even without, they didn't have what we have, the Rambam says. That we have a parents Rav Rebbeim that told us that Kadosh Baruch Hu loves you, and you're a Yid, and you were at Sinai. So that he didn't have, but they were able with intellectual honesty to understand that the world didn't just evolve and this and that. They just didn't understand that they have a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, because they don't. That's the only difference between the Chachmas HaGoyim and us. Us, we have a relationship with Hashem. Okay, so this is Chachma. A few weeks ago, I got asked by a local church, you can imagine like what I would have implanted at each part if I was pretending it was a mashgiach, and then at the end I was going to tell you, you know, who this great Rav HaGoyim, right? A few weeks ago, I was asked by a local shtiebel to talk to their parents about strategies to help monitor their kids' social media use. This topic is one I get asked about a lot, and I know that a lot of parents are struggling with it. When they brought me up there, they were looking for a silver bullet of an app, service, or method to use to help make sure their kids don't get into trouble on social media. I started the talk with a simple statement. Your kids don't need social media accounts, and you don't either. Do kids need social media accounts? Before you immediately close the page, you know, that means that, you know, okay, so once he's talking about, before you immediately close the page, hear me out. Facebook, guys don't know what that is. So, Mandel, you tell them after. Okay. Facebook has now been around for 15 years. Twitter has been around for 13 years. And Instagram has been around for 8 years. These services have become tough-based, ingrained in our lives. My oldest son, who's almost nine, doesn't know a world without them. I'm thinking, how am I going to explain this to you with Mashkiach? All of my kids have grown up with Wi-Fi, super fast internet, iPads, and iPhones. For them, technology is a way of life. For me, I'm in my mid-30s. I grew up without so much of it. It's not to say that we didn't have computers in the house. We did. But I didn't grow up with social media, mobile devices, or much of what the current generation has. I grew up playing computer games, Quake, Doom. This is before my time even, right? Nintendo 64, right? I mean, Ruben, you're crying, you're getting nostalgic. Get a hold of yourself, man, you're in public. Right? PlayStation, you're about to hear him let out a sigh. Right? PlayStation, Dreamcast? This is before my time. Okay, you'll explain it to me after. Okay. Et cetera. Very smart. We didn't feel the pressure to get likes. Murdick. Likes is the most unhealthy SIBA for therapy requirement since the world has been created. If a person wants to have if he wants to one day need 100% therapy and it not work, he should become a part of this world. Because the need to get a like, I will explain this to you. You told me what Quake is, and I'll explain to you after this. Right? The need to get a like. There was a psychologist who explained, my psychologist. Right? Sorry. My psychologist explained to me, my psychologist, the highest paid in the city. Right? You know, I have papers that prove I'm normal. My delayed reaction, 5 yards. Right? A psychologist explained to me like this. Explained to me that it's incredible. He explained to me that there's a certain hormone that is, I guess, for lack of a better word, but is excited when you get a like. He said the dogma of that hormone, right? Scientific dogma is the drop of cocaine attaches itself, kivyocha, whatever. I'm oversimplifying to that hormone. Right? And the same feeling that a person gets right away when the cocaine is administered, right? Miad, is a certain hergish, miad, whatever, once it starts taking effect, right? It's the same hergish that you get with a like. Could you imagine what happens when you get a dislike? You don't know what this is, but like at the end, after you're high, this, you go down. Right? It's like that. And imagine doing this 100 million times a day. Right? It's automatic need for therapy that will not work. That's what he said. Murdick. I told him, I'm going to say this in public. He says, it depends which therapist. About to lose his job, right? It depends which therapist. Okay. So he says, I grew up without so much of this. I grew up playing computer games, Quake, blah, blah, blah. We didn't feel the pressure to get likes, retweets, or become a social media influencer. We had the pressure of knowing the best plays in the NCAA football, you know, like an out-of-towner probably. In hindsight, we had it much better. How did we get here? How did we get to a place where you have to document everything for the world to see? Here's me eating a falafel. You idiot. This is Mr. Miro. This is the falafel. This is Miro. This is me. I was at the Kaisel last night, 12:45, 1 o'clock, and there was clearly a traveler. I don't know what you call him.
Right?
Tourist. I don't know what he was. Right? And he was a religious person, and he was davening at my Ma'ariv. It was clear that he had just come because he was clearly saying it to people. Right? And so Myra started, so now you can't talk on the phone anymore, but Baruch Hashem, you can still send things and whatever. I watched this. I couldn't believe this. He ruined my Myra, right? I watched this. He took the phone and was going like this while he was davening Myra. This is me, and he's probably doing, this is me davening Myra. The guy's like, you idiot. You are sick. You are sick. You're sick. Your punch is sick. You'll never be able to have a relationship with, forget God, forget people, yourself, sick, right? This is me. This is me eating a falafel. This is me in the grave. You're a sick dude, right? I don't talk at the Kaisel. Anybody who's ever seen me at the Kaisel, I go like this, and I wave at you, right? And like, I pretend like I'm davening. If people don't understand, then people are like, why is he benching? I'm like this, I go like this, and like, and it's open to like benching. I don't talk. I think last night was the first time in the, probably 19 years that I went over to the guy after. I couldn't be civil. I did something so awkward, so socially off. That's dumb. No, you have no idea. It was so socially off. I went over, it was like a shot in the dark. He looks like somebody from our world, you know, like a black yarmulke or whatever. He looks like someone from our world. He's wearing like a white shirt. Remember? I told him, I shalom aleichem. I never did this. I don't talk to the guys. I told him, I shalom aleichem. He said, this is new. You're worried. You're going to hear the exact same speech from yesterday, but this happened last night, right? I told him, shalom aleichem. Shalom aleichem. I go, you're a tourist? He goes, yeah, I just got here. I go, you know, did you ever hear of Shragi Kallis? Awkward. That's dumb. No? Like, I can't believe the guy just did this. He goes, yeah, my wife listens to you. Yeah. Not you, I'm sorry, I said it wrong. My wife listens to him. I go, I'm him. Ah, shalom aleichem. Stood up. Shalom aleichem. Take a picture. Shalom aleichem. I told him, did you realize that 20 years ago, like Rechaim Vital, right? 20 years ago, the same you that would have been a tourist that came to Eretz Yisrael, would have sat down here, daven to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, p'shtapech his nefesh to Kodesh Baruch Hu, either thank him if things are going well, ask him if things aren't going well. It's the same person. It's just, but now you sat in the entire Ma'ariv not being here. You're at the Kaisel and you're not here. He says to me, with all the, he says to me, I'm going to be your next schmooze, aren't I? Oh, yeah. He says, well, I'm not telling you my name. How did we get to a place where you have to document everything for the world to see? Right? As I continued the discussion, I asked one of the parents, what are your goals for your life? They gave me a few things, and I asked, how Facebook or Instagram help with that? They said it didn't. I then asked the same parents about their goals for their kids. They gave me a few answers, and I asked, how's Facebook, how's Instagram, how does it help with that? They agreed it didn't. My next question was, how many people have read something on the blog, on Facebook, on Instagram, and all these things that made them mad? Basically, the entire room had their hand up. I think that was the eye-opening moment for all of them. They realized that social media wasn't helping them accomplish goals and wasn't making, and it was making them angry, right? And then he goes on, he says, I asked him, how many times a day does it make you angry? Right? So one of them said, how many times a day does it not make me angry? Well, that was the whole. As I proceeded, I discussed the danger for kids using social media. I mentioned that the parents of the 80s and the 90s were concerned about their kids having computers in their room. Now we give kids free access to the internet with a device that fits into their pocket. And we're surprised when they make a poor decision. This next line is absolutely brilliant. Yeah, they're all brilliant. He says, let me say this plain and simple. Kids can ruin their life by what they say on social media, and they don't need it. I mentioned this to a friend. And their the response was that we need to let kids have access, but you know, we need to teach them how to handle it. Sounds familiar, right? We need to teach them how to handle it. My response was, well, why don't we let 14-year-olds drive? We need to realize that giving the kids the ability to say whatever they want to the world is a recipe for disaster. When kids, I can't say the next word, bleep up on social media. Sorry. Why are we surprised? Right, you'll explain to them what it means after. Why are we surprised? Everyone's not here. Okay, we're okay now. Why are we surprised? And now it's time to Rashiva. What is with that guy? I know that I would have said something absolutely bleep on the internet if Facebook had been around when I was a kid. For my three kids, my wife and I, Hashem, it's a woman, right? And I have made the decision that they will not have social media while they are under my supervision. If they want to get it, these accounts, Facebook, Instagram, when they go to, if I would have been, you know, Mashkiach might have said, when they go to yeshiva, they go to college, so be it. I won't agree with them. I can't stop them at that point. They'll be old enough to understand the consequences of their actions and to deal with them, right? Or maybe not. I just don't believe that a 17-year-old... I'm going to help my kids avoid growing up in a digital world that is unrelenting in its ability to warp your vision of self-worth. Murdik. I'm going to... Murdik. That line is Murdik. My kid. I'm going to help them grow up in a... It's unrelenting in its ability to warp your vision of self-worth. And we'll be Maisif, self-growth, right? Self-esteem, self. Self. I don't want my kids worrying about if they got unfollowed by someone, right? And I'll add a word here, by some idiot, right? He was nice here, right? Or just got enough likes. I want them to worry about making good grades. I want them to worry about Torah, mitzvahs, Yerushalayim, Chesed, Uncle Moshe, right? Having fun, you know, kumzitz, and enjoying being a kid, and enjoying being a yid. It rhymed. That was great. I've had a lot of people say, but they'll sneak it and do it on their own. That's a good possibility. This is the best line. But as soon as I find out, there'll be a swift punishment. Right? Having social media accounts is not a human right, nor is having access to technology. We are the parents, and we'll make the rules for our home. Liberal. So to recap, this is the end, don't worry. And then I'll be Messiah with the priceless words from our Rebbe. For all the goals I have for my kids, social media doesn't help. My wife and I haven't had a Facebook and an Instagram and this, and I don't miss it. I deleted my Instagram account years ago. I keep LinkedIn. Thank you. Around for professional reasons. But if you told me that my future income wasn't based on having some sort of online identity, I would delete that as well. I guess he's saying, like, if I had bitachin or whatever, you know. I'm setting an example for my kids that we'd rather... This is the line. I happen to think these next four lines are more important than everything I read, and everything I read is very important. He says like this, and this is an aspect that he hasn't talked about. He says, I'm setting an example for my kids, for my yids, that we'd rather look at a beautiful scene of nature, whatever, to enjoy it, rather, it's a bit girly, that part, to enjoy it, rather than having to snap it for the gram. That's sick. We take family photos for ourselves, rather than having to post everything we do for the whole world to see. Murdik. He goes on, right, he tells you how to do whatever. Your friend, my friend, Bradley Chamber. So I would like to be Messiah with the... Oh, what is this? It's all English? No, Hebrew. What is this? I'd like to do... I don't know how to use this thing.
Isn't that how it always is written?
What, in English? 1 second. I got to find it now. 1 minute. It's at the end of the 19th parak in Mesil Sesharim. I was going to say in the 101st page, but here it's, it looks like it's on the 400... Oh, here it is, on the 401st page. So he says like this, in the 401st page. He brings down the... Tana de Baileo. Okay? I won't read the whole thing. We read a lot today. It's not my style. But he says like this. He says, the Tana de Baileo says, Kol Chochem Misrael, Sheyesh by Divrei Torah. It means anybody of us that's sitting and learning Torah. After everything you heard today, Rechaim Vital told you who you people are. Right? You people. Right? Who you people are. Okay? And if you are misadeach on the covet of a Kadosh Baruch Hu and on the covet of Yisrael, umisave umeitzer lekovet Yushalayim. Now I am learning Mesiyas Sharm now. It's something I try to do every day. And I'm up to the 19th parak. And I got up to this in the middle of this week, and I was so excited because, you know, you see Getziat Shema and you're learning, you know. And here I am, I'm learning Mesiyas Sharm, and he talks about that a person that learns Torah who's misave and meitzer for the covet of Yushalayim and the covet of the base of Mikdash and Yeshua Shetitzmach Bekarev and the keep his Galdias, so he's going to be Zoicha to Ruach HaKodesh. Now, don't get excited. Ruach HaKodesh here doesn't mean, like, you know, you'll be able to, like, see through people's underwear and kryptonite and whatever. You know, what it means, Pashit, is simple. Ruach HaKodesh means that you'll have Seichel of Torah, you understand? You understand people. You understand what the Ratzon of Hashem is. Ruach of Kedusha you'll have on you. Not a Ruach of Tumah. A Ruach of Torah you'll have. So I saw this. I said, Gevaldik, right? Gevaldik. And then I'm reading this, and that's it. I stop every day at a certain place. And I stop there. And it says, and I said to myself, I'll tell you exactly what I said to myself. I said to myself, like, you know, Maisa, noch else? I don't know if the whole entire world is riding on Shragi Kalis davening for the Avelis. There's bigger fellows out there, and there's bigger chances that they're clearly bigger, and there are people that were bigger before me. I don't know if I verbalized this. I don't know if I subconsciously was thinking this, but it didn't have such a major effect on my life. The only thing I remember after reading this was, Gevaldik, I have Siyat Ishmael, my learning, punk, Zera Shava, 3 weeks, Misil Sharm's up to that too, Gevaldik, right? And then the next day I read this paragraph, and this will be Messiah, I guess this is it until next month. Right? Listen to what Misil Sharm says. This is it. What did you hear today from me? You heard that if you're in this door and you're a Shema Torah Mitzvah, so then you have an Achrayas, because what you would have been in a previous door, and don't underestimate what you do. And if I can't, it shouldn't empower you to do more. It shouldn't tell you, okay, that's enough what I'm doing. It should say, look what I am. Look what I could become. I could become more. And how do you do that? There's a whole world out there. Don't be a part of that world. It's not healthy. It's not healthy. I don't need to. I'm a Navi. I'm a Navi Bisrael. I'm a Tana. I walk around after reading this Chaim Vital saying, I am a Tana. I'm a Tana. A Tana doesn't act like that. A Tana doesn't have to show everybody he's eating a falafel and miros. Eh? I don't have to daven at the Kaisel going like this, kaparas and hakafas and whatever. But listen to what Messiah Sham says. Vim yoymer adam. It's one paragraph, about 40 words. Okay, these are, you know, if I had to choose words that you're going to remember me with, it's nostalgic, right? These would be the words. Im yoymer adam, mi ani. I'll read it in English. Now, if a person who would say, Mi ani umana ani safun shispala galus rishak. Who am I? I read this the next day. Chapa was like the next day. Meredith. Who am I? And what is the importance that I should pray about the end of exile of Israel and about the rebuilding of Yerushalayim and the base of Mikdash? Right? Will my prayer cause the exile to be gathered and the redemption to sprout forth? So this is, he writes like this. Chuvasai betzidoi. See, right, the retort is at hand. I want to explain to you. When Chazal say Chuvasei Bitzidoi, they mean the question fights a chnishton, does not start. Right? I would write, that kasha is a tois. That's a grace a tois. Right? The question doesn't start. That's your kasha. That's your kasha. Who am I to daven for Yerushalayim? Who am I in the next 3 weeks to daven for Yerushalayim? The answer is similar to that which we find in the Gemara in Sanhedrin 37a. Lefikach nivra adab yechidi. For the following reason, man was created as an individual. Kedei shel kol echad yoyma b'shvili nivra. The sake of the world was created for me. It was worthwhile for Hashem to create the whole world for a single person. Thus, each individual of inestimable importance and his prayers. You know what it means? Ichmein azeich. Let's also mention. Yeah, Aramein tzogin. He's saying like this. He's saying the whole 3 weeks, the whole Tisha B'Av, the whole Chorban, the whole Avelis, the whole 9 days, the whole everything is for you, one person, nobody else. Nobody else. And you're the one. You're the one that could do it. So he ends with these words, Moyerdik. He says, and if you do it, but it wasn't Magia this man, and it's not time for Mashiach, maze a time, for whatever the reason, Hashem doesn't want to bring it. Hineyim asu shalahem. You did yours. No, how would he finish the next sentence? Right, the Hua says Shalai, right, and Hakadosh Baruch Hu does this, right? You did yours. He doesn't end like that. He says, "Him Asa Eshalayim." You did yours. If you do what you're supposed to do during the 3 weeks and ask the Abish to bring the base of the world, it's not such a great world we live in. And you do that, Hakadosh Baruch Hu Sameach Bezeh. Hakadosh Baruch Hu will be happy with you. The end. Shteis, good chance. Let's make up.